Hazard Audio.
Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod are back after their break and waste no time getting right into the Women's World Cup, the NBA Free Agency, MLB All-Star Game, and the Home Run Derby. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
You can catch us every week right here. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a good review on there. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us out a ton when you do that. Send us a tweet. We're at the Sports Appeal on Twitter. We love interacting with you guys. We do it all the time. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. You can get all their stuff on iTunes and Spotify or their YouTube channel. And as always, we're produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to talk some NBA free agency. We're going to talk MLB All-Star Game. But first, we're going to start with the biggest story in sports the last couple of weeks. We've been off for a while, so we've got to catch up. The Women's World Cup. The American women dominated the World Cup, Matt. It was awesome.
Yes, they did. They scored, what, 4 goals in the first 15 minutes? It was just a shellacking.
It was. Carly Lloyd had a hat trick in 16 minutes. I have never seen that before, including a goal from midfield. And that's an incredible feat to score 3 goals in 16 minutes. But the more incredible thing to me is that she scored in 4 straight World Cup games. It's incredibly hard to score 1 World Cup game. It's really hard to score 4 World Cup games. But to score 4 in a row is unheard of.
Yeah, that was absolutely incredible. And on a more global story, this has really been a great year for soccer in the U.S. Not only do you have the women winning the World Cup, you've also got the men's national team taking on, granted just in friendlies, but taking on 2 of the top teams in the world and beating them. And you've got the U.S.'s tremendous role in breaking up the corruption in FIFA.
Yeah, and the men's team has been playing well too. Like you said, some big wins against powerhouses. And they're in the Gold Cup right now, which is the CONCACAF tournament. And they won their first 2 games there with Clint Dempsey scoring all 3 goals. So U.S. soccer is really on the rise. They've got this new kid, Zardes, on the men's team who's been tearing it up. He's super athletic. He's one of my favorite players to watch. I think he's going to be a star coming up here soon. But going back to the Women's World Cup, we scored a ton of goals in the Japan game, in the championship game. But before that, it was really the defense that carried us. We went 5 straight games without allowing a goal. The U.S. fell just 2nd short of the record for not allowing a goal in Women's World Cup history. Germany, in 2007, went 540 minutes without allowing a goal, which is insane. It's mind-blowing. The U.S. fell short of that by seconds. So the defense really carried us through, and we had questions about the offense, and then there's just an offensive explosion in the championship game against Japan, who looked lost for the first 20 minutes of that game.
And it's pretty much like everyone was saying, the semifinals against Germany really being more of the finals. That was a much better matchup than Team USA going up against Japan and the whooping that they delivered.
You know, we were 15 minutes into that game, and I was thinking, I wish we were watching England instead of Japan. England lost on that heartbreaking own goal where the defender tried to clear it over the net and ended up hitting the crossbar to bounce straight down in like the 92nd minute. So that was heartbreaking for England. Probably would have rather watched them against the U.S. than Japan, but as an American, I got to be glad we drew Japan because we just trounced them.
Going back in history here, we beat Germany, then we'd beat Japan. Does that sound familiar?
And we beat Japan the day after the 4th of July, a victory against England. So that was awesome. And talking about the defense again, there's a lot of controversy surrounding Hope Solo coming into this with her history of domestic violence, and she was outstanding, but she wasn't the only one. Julie Johnston, who I think is like 20 years old, is probably the best American defender, men's or women's. They should put her on the men's team. She's awesome. Allie Krieger and Klingenberg, they all had awesome World Cups, and it was just a treat to watch them put on a defensive clinic.
Now, speaking of Hope Solo, do you think there's a bit of a double standard there? Like, do you think if one of the stars, say Clint Dempsey on the men's team, had domestic violence charges against him? I just picked him because I know he's really good. Not saying he did or anything. Do you think that there would be more of a call for him to be pulled off the team?
I guess it's possible, but I think the main reason this is getting swept under the rug is because it was a while ago. Domestic violence in sports has really been brought to the forefront a lot more in the last year and a half. You know, I think the fact that this was a few years ago, I think kind of, I don't want to say softens the blow, but
yeah, it does take away a little from the sting of it.
Yeah, so like if Dempsey had a history of domestic violence, which he doesn't, by the way, at all, but if he did and it was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I think even he would get a little more slack than the guys who are doing it now. Johnny Five, Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone, hit the tweets.
We issued a tweet at the Sports Appeal saying, David West, JPP question. To win a championship, would you rather give up $11 million or a finger? To which at GHam614 replied, what about $5 million and a thumb?
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
$5 million and a thumb?
Losing a thumb is way worse than losing your index finger. The thumb is what separates us from the animals.
What? I would never give up a thumb. I mean, maybe for $100 million, but not for $5 million or not for a championship.
Nuh-uh, you need your thumb too much. I am interested to see how this is going to affect JPP losing his index finger. Like, how much does an index finger matter to a defensive end? I'm not really sure.
I was going to say, how much does a new bionic index finger cost? I mean, doesn't that factor into this question? Don't you want to know, like, if I could give up, like, my thumb and then get a bionic one with a fraction of the money that I got, why not do it?
I don't think the NFL would allow him to have a bionic finger. He is going to have a prosthetic, though. And we'll actually talk about this in Sports Madness a little bit later. There was a doctor who tweeted out a list of a ranking of importance of fingers for defensive linemen. So we'll cover that in a little while. But anyway, Matt, would you rather lose a finger or $11 million to get a championship?
I think I'd rather lose $11 million because, you know what, you can make that money back. Although David West is getting closer to the end of his career, but you can never get the finger back. That's not coming back.
I think I'd rather lose the finger. I mean, you learn to live without your finger, and you could still do pretty much everything. Probably can't play the piano. But other than that, you could do just about everything else. And $11 million is a life-changing amount of money. So I would probably give up the finger instead of the $11
million. All right, moving on to the next one. It's coming from @BrewerCar20. Can Rajon Rondo fix his image in Sacramento and become a team leader again?
Yeah, I think he can. I doubt he will, but hey, look, Rondo has all the talent in the world, except when it comes to, like, you know, shooting a basketball.
Yeah, jump shot's kind of a problem.
But Rondo can be a leader. Chemistry is such a wild card. My brain tells me it's going to be very much like the Dallas situation, only worse, because there's more dysfunction there than there was in Dallas. For some reason, my heart tells me it's going to work out, though. I think that Rondo's going to make it work there.
I have no clue why you would say that. He has not been a good teammate for the last 5 years. No, probably not that long. But last time he was a good teammate was when he had Kevin Garnett on his team. So trading him in for Boogie Cousins, I don't think it's really a step forward for Rajon Rondo. I think he's going to have a hard time. I don't think he can repair his image. I think it's beyond repair now. Even if he plays well, he's still going to have that stigma with him that he's a bad teammate, he's not a good jump shooter, and he's a shitty attitude. I think that's always going to follow him. And I think having him, Cousins, and George Karl all together on the same team just is just a recipe for disaster. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it, too. That's going to be a really interesting blend of personalities, that's for sure.
I wish the NBA had Hard Knocks, and it was in Sacramento.
And, you know, they're all talented guys, too. George Karl has had a fantastic career as a coach. Rajon Rondo has been a very good player at times in his career. And Boogie Cousins is a superstar.
I think he's just starting to scratch the surface. If he matures a little bit, he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alrighty, our next question is coming to us via text, but you can always reach us via Twitter on the Tweet Zone, at the Sports Appeal. The question is, do you think Brock Osweiler has what it takes to become the Broncos' next QB, or do you think Denver will sign another veteran quarterback?
Does he have what it takes? It sounds like he does. We haven't seen enough from him to say definitively yes. We've only seen him in preseason and in limited mop-up duty. But everything that's coming out of the Broncos camp, it sounds like he has it. We know he has cannon for an arm.
Yeah, he has all the tangibles.
Yeah, he's 6'7", so he can really sling the ball. And all the reports coming out of camp say he's super accurate and he's picking up the offense quickly. So I think he has the tangibles to do it.
He's also, he's just a phenomenal athlete. I mean, he was recruited to play basketball in college too, at Gonzaga.
Which is a big-time program.
Everything looks promising for them in the post-Peyton Manning era. I mean, Peyton Manning is an all-time great. They're going to take a step back. Although Peyton seems to be getting too tired by postseason time now, or too hurt at least. So it might actually, moving on, might be a good thing for them.
Yeah, he's going to be 39 this year, so Osweiler might get some work in the regular season. The one question mark with him and the Broncos is they need to extend his contract because he's on the last year of his rookie contract, and if they let him go to the end of the season, he's going to test free agency. Somebody else might draw him away with a better offer.
Yeah, honestly, I think they should just start Osweiler throughout, like, the entire regular season or most of it, and maybe just put Peyton in there for the last few games so that Peyton's fresh for a playoff run. I don't think anything like that's ever been tried before, but considering what happened with Manning last season, I think it would be a smarter way to go.
They need to start him through most of the season? You need to have your head checked. That's insane. Peyton Manning.
Fuck that. It's better than Peyton Manning being on one leg in the playoffs like he was this past season.
I don't mind playing him in the second half if the Broncos are ahead or behind by a lot, but starting him throughout the season just seems asinine.
Look, if you can start the playoffs with Peyton Manning completely fresh and rested, ready to go, that's what you need for a championship.
Do you get to the playoffs if Brock Osweiler is starting?
With
that's
that
the
team,
question.
With that team, I think you do. What do you guys think? Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. We're going to take it to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking NBA free agency.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
We've got Steve and Matt here on Sports Appeal. We've been talking some soccer. We did the Tweet Zone, heard from you guys. Let's talk some NBA free agency. This has been crazy, man. It's been a lot of fun to follow.
Yeah, it absolutely has. Between DeAndre Jordan and that whole shit show, and LeBron James opting out, but everyone knew he was coming back. Although, how crazy would it have been if he decided not to? And then you've got LaMarcus Aldridge going to the Spurs. That, to me, is the biggest story, because that really shifts the landscape back in favor of the Spurs, and not just for now, but for the next several years.
Yeah, I think the Spurs overall were the biggest story for me. They re-signed Kawhi Leonard, Tim Duncan, Danny Green. They got LaMarcus Aldridge, and they got David West for $11 million less than he was being offered.
Right, and they convinced Manu Ginobili to come back for another season. So they kept the whole core intact, brought in David West, who's going to be a good contributor, for pennies on the dollar, and LaMarcus Aldridge, who is really a star or even a superstar in the league, and he's only, what, 30 now? They really look good going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the West with the Clippers signing Paul Pierce and then stealing back DeAndre Jordan from the Mavericks.
That entire thing was unreal as that unfolded. You guys might know I go on Reddit quite a bit. There's 25 links on the main page of the NBA community on Reddit. At one point, 17 of those 25 were all about DeAndre Jordan. So it was just dominating the sports landscape.
He had agreed in principle with the Mavericks to sign with them. But once the period came where you can sign a contract, he said, oh, wait a minute, and started talking to the Clippers again. Mark Cuban started freaking out. The Clippers really put the heat on trying to recruit him with all their players, and DeAndre Jordan ended up going back to the Clippers.
A lot of people are saying he did the Mavericks dirty, and in a way he kind of did.
Yep.
Now, the moratorium period that they have where players can talk to other teams for like 10 days, but they aren't allowed to sign, it exists for a reason. But the question is, should it exist? Because it enables players to put other teams in a crappy situation like this.
Yeah, there's kind of a conspiracy theory that he was going to go back to the Clippers this whole time, and he was just hamstringing the Mavericks from going after other players. I don't really give much credence to that, but it's the theory that's out there, and it's interesting to think about, at least.
Yeah, I don't buy that either, but whether or not it was intentional, he really did make it a lot harder for the Mavericks, because they were talking about tanking if they lost out on him and lost out on Lin, and they did lose out on both of those guys. Now Mark Cuban has said they're not going to tank, but they're clearly not going to be as good as if they had managed to sign DeAndre.
They ended up giving Wes Matthews a max contract, which Wes Matthews is a good player. He's not a max contract player, though.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and Portland, I think, was the big loser in free agency. They lost Matthews. They lost LaMarcus Aldridge, Robin Lopez, Aaron Aflalo. Their whole team's gone except for Damian Lillard.
And to me, I think that the whole DeAndre Jordan move is really disappointing because, A, I like the Mavericks and I wanted to see him on the Mavericks. I think he vaults them into contender status if he does go there. Now you've got neither of those teams really challenging. The Mavs are going to be good and the Clippers are going to be good, but neither one of them is really a true contender.
You don't think the Clippers are a contender? I do. The one thing they were missing was a veteran leader, and they got that with Paul Pierce. I think the Clippers are for real this year.
You think the you of all people?
I know,
Mister. The Clippers are never going past the second round every year. Everyone thinks something's going to be different. They get the corpse of Paul Pierce, and you think that that puts them into contender status? Who are you, and what did you do with Steve Rose?
I know. I've been so down on the Clippers, especially this year. I just think Paul Pierce is a difference maker, especially when you get to the playoffs, which the Clippers are undoubtedly going to get to the playoffs. The Mavericks, I'm not so sure, but I do think Paul Pierce helps the Clippers get over the hump. I think they're a legitimate contender. I'm not saying they're going to beat Golden State or San Antonio, but I think they have the ability to do so.
He helps, but I just don't think that it's enough to get them over the hump. Now, the Spurs, on the other hand, I'm picking them. They're my way too early pick to win the championship this next year because LaMarcus Aldridge is a monster. And you put him next to Tim Duncan, who's still a very good player in this league, and Tony Parker, who's only, 32 now, and Kawhi Leonard, who's coming into his own as a star and could rise to superstar level in this league. You've got a really, really elite team there again.
It's going to take some adjustment. I'll be interested to see how LaMarcus Aldridge fits in with this team exactly. But I think they'll get it together eventually, and they're going to be a really, really good team.
If there's one coach who can recreate his own style and build a team around the talent that they have, it's Greg Popovich.
No doubt.
So, yeah, they're going to be really interesting. And now you know they're not just going to fall off when their old core does finally retire, because you've got LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard, who are going to be in their primes for a little while still.
And Danny Green, who's a good outside shooter. So they got a good value for him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see how they continue to retool, because you know they will. And I mean, I think at this point they're going to be good for at least the next 5 years with the core they have, and I assume they'll figure out how to supplement it and keep going for friggin' indefinitely.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the Western Conference this whole time. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference a little bit. The Cavaliers, I think, did the best work in the offseason, getting all their guys re-signed, Kevin Love and LeBron James, Tristan Thompson. But I think the most interesting team that you and I were talking about is the Miami Heat.
Yeah, the Miami Heat, it's going to be really interesting to see what they look like this year. When you look at the names on paper, they're a true contender. Now, they had most of those names last year besides Goran Dragic, who is a very good point guard. But they had most of those guys last year, and at the point when Chris Bosh went down with the blood clots in his lungs, they were under 500, despite the talent on that team. So I don't know if I'm ready to buy in yet.
I don't know either, and I think a lot of it hinges on Chris Bosh, whether he can come back and play or not. We haven't heard a whole lot on that front recently, but I think re-signing Dragic was huge for them. Getting Dwayne Wade for one more year, I think, was really smart. The one-year contract was good for both him and the Heat, I think.
Yeah, that's something we were talking about a little while ago. Is Dwayne Wade going to get paid? I think this contract is perfect. $20 million for 1 year, Dwayne Wade. It rewards him a bit for past service because that's probably a little more than he's worth on the open market this year. But at the same time, it's not completely hamstringing the team.
Yeah, I mean, if Paul Millsap can get $20 million a year, then so can Dwayne Wade.
You know, I can't let the NBA go without sneaking in a minute about the Bulls.
Oh, God.
So the Bulls this year, they re-signed Jimmy Butler, which, by the way, everyone was acting like it was so controversial or questionable. Are they going to re-sign Jimmy Butler? The team made no secret. They were offering him a max. They said that, like, months and months ago. Everyone's like, oh, God, they're going to lose Jimmy Butler to some other team. No, of course not. They offered him the $5 million max deal, and he agreed. So he's got a four-year deal with a player option on the fifth year, which everybody who actually paid attention to the situation knew was going to happen. And the only other difference on the team, really, besides Jimmy getting more money now, is they fired Tom Thibodeau and brought in Fred Hoiberg. So the Bulls have been sort of fringe contenders the last few years. The question is, are they still a fringe contender or a real contender now or nothing at all?
Yeah, I think they're probably still a fringe contender just because of the players that, not the players that they lost, but the players that they're going to lose. Derrick Rose to injury, Pau Gasol to old age, and so on and so on. Taj Gibson to injury. They've been banged up for like 5 years, this team. I don't see it changing.
Yeah, they have a ton of players with health issues. And I think a big part of that is Tom Thibodeau playing guys like a million minutes a game. And Fred Hoiberg should be better on that front. But I think in a lot of ways, the damage is done. These players are extremely old in terms of NBA years based on their actual service time because of the beating they've taken under Tom Thibodeau.
All right, that's all the time we have for NBA. When we come back, we're going to do some sports madness, talk about Major League Baseball, All-Star Game, and the Home Run Derby.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Hey, this is Matt. That's Steve. Let's get right back to Sports Appeal. First up, we're going to talk about the MLB All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. Any notable snubs in the All-Star Game for you this year?
Not really. I mean, a lot of people are upset that Alex Rodriguez didn't make it, but I understand it. The two DHs who got selected in front of him, I'm fine with that. They're both having great seasons, Nelson Cruz and Prince Fielder.
Right. Plus, there are kind of some extenuating circumstances with Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, he might not be the most popular guy. So, yeah, I get that. Also, those two guys can play defense, whereas Alex Rodriguez hasn't played in the field all year. So, I get that. I'm fine with that. A lot of the Royals got snubbed. Only four starters.
Yeah. those poor, poor guys. You know, one guy I would have liked to see there is Jake Arrieta, because he's...
Because he's on the Cubs?
Well, yeah, he's also having a great season. But there are so many great pitchers this year. So many guys doing an incredible job. And there are a bunch of pitchers that have a sub 2.5 ERA right now. That's pretty absurd.
Yeah, it is. The pitching is off the charts. And the hitting hasn't been that great this year. But that being said, we do have a lot of really interesting hitters in the Home Run Derby this year. This is the best lineup I can remember. I mean, the biggest stars, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, are both not participating, but we still have some really, really big names who are going to do it.
In this year's Home Run Derby, we've got Jock Peterson, Chris Bryant, Prince Fielder, Todd Frazier, Albert Pujols, Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson, and Anthony Rizzo. So there's some really good talent in there, including the young studs. Both of these guys are Rookie of the Year candidates for the National League, Jock Peterson and Chris Bryant. And both of them, especially Jock Peterson, are hitting home runs off the charts for rookies.
Yeah, they really are. It would be interesting to see like an old guy versus young guy competition here, because we do have such a split of like the young talent, and then you got Albert Pujols and
Prince Fielder.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun to watch. But I like the fact that they changed the format this year to be just 5 minutes, hit as many home runs as you can, instead of 10 outs. I think it's going to make things move a lot faster, and it's going to be more exciting.
Yeah, and people haven't been paying as much attention to the Home Run Derby the last few years, so I think they needed to do something. I'm really excited to see Chris Bryant in there, obviously, because I'm a homer,
yes,
as we all know.
Yep.
And I think Rizzo will do well, too. The guy does have power, but Chris Bryant's swing is just so friggin' gorgeous.
Well, the Cubs haven't been hitting at all lately, so maybe they could get a couple in the Home Run Derby. But my pick for the Derby is Jock Peterson. The kid, he doesn't even look like an athlete, and he just hits the ball over the fence with no effort.
He's a really talented center fielder defensively,
yeah,
too. And he looks the least like a pro athlete since... anybody since, like, I don't know, Prince Fielder.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah. I mean, on the opposite end, though, like, he's not fat. He's kind of skinny. Doesn't look like he has any real muscle to him. And then he just, like, pops balls over the outfield fence like it's nothing. It's going to be an exciting Home Run Derby. I'm looking forward to watching. And then the actual All-Star Game should be good, too. It is a little ridiculous how many guys you've got from the Royals on there. But they are a good team.
They are a good team. A lot of the guys that got voted in from their team deserve it. Lorenzo Cain definitely deserves it. Alex Gordon, Salvador Perez, you know, a lot of these guys actually do deserve it. So I guess I don't really have that much of an issue with it.
Well, that's it for the All-Star Game. You ready for Sports Madness?
Let's do it!
Sports Madness.
Our first story is from the NFL, where Jason Pierre-Paul of the Giants and C.J. Wilson of the Buccaneers both had fireworks accidents on the 4th of July, and both had to have fingers amputated. Wilson lost two fingers, Jason Pierre-Paul lost one finger. That's not what we're going to focus on at Sports Madness, because we talked about that a little bit. But Dr. David J. Chow, you can find him on Twitter, at ProFootballDoc, tweeted out a ranking of finger importance for a defensive end. So this is specifically for Jason Pierre-Paul. But the finger that he lost was the index finger. So the rank, Dr. Chow's rankings are: number one, thumb, obviously, which we talked about earlier. Number two is the ring finger, and number three is the pinky finger, because he says the fourth and fifth fingers are the most important for a power grip.
Makes sense.
Probably true.
They're the most like opposed to the opposable thumb.
I guess, yeah. Probably true. I can't dispute that. And then middle finger number 4, index finger number 5. So he says the index finger is the least important of all the fingers for a defensive end.
All right. First of all, I'm glad Dr. Steve has no argument.
All right.
That makes sense to me. It does seem like for your grip, you want the furthest across your hands for getting control. I'm wondering how many sacks his sack total is going to go down this year.
Probably have a handful.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can put my finger on it exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Nice. But I think maybe the biggest possible medical drawback to this could be if he has nerve damage. You know, if he hits his hand and it just sends shooting pain down his arm, I think that could be the possible biggest drawback. But other than that, I don't really see it affecting his game all that much.
I knew we were getting a Dr. Steve comment. Yes.
Oh, I can't disappoint you. I can't let you down.
All right, so...
Painting, Dr. Steve.
So our next story is going back in time just a little bit. I recently learned that right before the 1994 strike in Major League Baseball, Dave Winfield was traded to the Cleveland Indians. It was for a player to be named later. Well, then the strike happened. Right before the strike, in order to just get it settled, the executives of the teams went out to dinner, and... the Cleveland Indians picked up the tab, and that was it. So, Dave Winfield was traded for dinner.
I mean, it depends on where they went to dinner. If they went to Taco Bell or something, it's infinitely more insulting.
That's quite a way to bring down a pro player's self-esteem. Oh yeah, that's what I'm worth to my new team? Dinner.
Well, I don't think you'd see that trade made these days. And Dave Winfield is a Hall of Famer, so great deal by the Indians. Our next story is about Bill Murray, who is a Chicago guy. Everyone knows he's a Cubs fan. He was recently interviewed, and he said that all Cardinals fans are Satan's messengers on earth. And Matt, I know that you agree with this 100%.
I mean, obviously. Like, first of all, it's Bill Murray, whom I love. Bill Murray is just an absolutely hilarious guy, always makes me laugh. Plus, I once caddied for someone who had Bill Murray caddy for him 40 years before, when I was caddying at Indian Hill up in Winnetka.
Right.
So there's that.
Yeah, and he also said it turns out that the team is cheaters as well. And then he walked away a few steps, and a little boy with a Cardinals hat asked him for an autograph. Bill Murray signed it, and then he noticed the hat, and he said, "Are you a Cardinals fan? Get out of here, you rotten kid." So he's even talking crap to little kids that are Cardinals fans.
That's fantastic. I just love Bill Murray. I mean, like, how can you hate the guy?
Yeah, I love all things Bill Murray. He's one of my favorite celebrities. He's so much fun. He's always doing random shit, walking into people's parties and stuff. He's awesome.
All right, that's it for Sports Appeal for today. Thanks. You're here with Steve and Matt, and that's Johnny Five over there. Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. As always, we're produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. Taking us out is going to be Full Service with Better Back Then.
Hazard Audio.